getting ready ourselves. Many people living now are going to live in the next century. They're going to live in a new environment of a kind. But if we continue to let the old slop over into the new, we can destroy its integrity. When we step across, there should be a really good reason. Now, I think that good reason is in the making. We are seeing around us all the time now an increasing realization that something is desperately wrong. We are beginning to recognize that materialism was a dead loss. We are beginning more and more to recognize that wealth is a desperate evil problem. It is a problem that has destroyed more than it has created. And some of the poorest people in the world are those who are wealthy. The wealth has become a blind alley. It is a going nowhere. It is something that is a false start and a false finish. And as surely as we gain it over the years of living, we must leave it behind when we go. There is no way of carrying it forward. And that in itself is the proof of its values and its lack of value. Wealth is something in moderate amounts may help us to live back more conveniently and more artistically and more helpfully in our world. But as an end in itself, it is a dead loss. And it is a dead mistake to believe that wealth is power. Because in nature, there's only one power, and that is the power of good. Evil has no power. Evil is not something that is struggling like a horn-tailed demon to destroy us. Evil, so-called, is simply our own self-centeredness in which we strive to believe or want to believe that it is possible for us to build heaven on earth, that it is possible for us to have everything we want, no responsibilities, and no interest in other people. Well, nature doesn't allow this. It's not part of the principle. It's not something that was intended. And as a result of that, we can't succeed in it. But now we see new people coming along. We see new organizations coming along trying to solve things. We find reforms breaking out all over. We are beginning to subconsciously receive the impulses and pressures that nature is sending with the promise of another century in which to achieve something more. This century could be set aside as one of the great failures as far as humanity is concerned. There is really no experience, no value in it. All the inventions, all the wonderful discoveries, all the subtles and all the missiles and everything you can think of, they're all a heap of dead loss. The only thing that is valuable is that the experience and the constant flow of conditions will help us to discover the basic friendships and integrities by which we can go on without war and gradually reduce crime, get rid of narcotics, and take care of the various social problems simply by the realization that we don't need them. This isn't a great big deal. But if more people become individually free from the temptations which cause compromise, we will find that little by little, the peoples of nations will gradually become sufficiently aware of value to influence the elections of their leaders or to create a new system of appointment. We can gradually take the ulterior motives out of government by developing integrities. And if we did not succumb to temptations on some level, we would not be having a poor government at any time. So we've had to find out a little bit about nature's plan. We must say to ourselves, what is the real plan behind all this? Well, it seems to me that probably the ancients were pretty well, that finally, this world is a school. It is a place of learning. You turn in your papers and have them graded. And if you're particularly good, you get a better mark. If you're particularly poor, you may have to do the grade over again. But it probably is all education. And education is the release from within the individual of the divine and soul power with which he is endowed. The purpose of education is to make the best part of man ruler of the rest. When the individual is governed not by the mind or the body, but by the soul. When the inside in its integrity dominates the outside, we will have the same thing in society. We will have a society of people living simply, living reasonably, but living happily, because they are fulfilling the useful things of life. They're not dodging responsibilities. They're not hipped up on hot rock music. They are not caught in narcotics. They are not caught in all of the dissipations and immoralities that are affecting our present generation. They are doing things that are interesting and valuable because the inside is being expressed. As it is now, we all have inside. We all have soul power. We all have soul consciousness, but we're not doing very much with it. We allow it to be obscured by every temptation that comes along. We allow ourselves to fall into emotional stress. We allow ourselves to make a strange kind of happiness supreme, when this happiness doesn't really make us happy at all. No one is happy because he's intoxicated. Actually, it is defiance, frustration, indifference. It is the realization or belief that there are no values in life. There are values in life and always have been. And it's not until we recognize these values that we will begin to live safely. And it is very important at this time that each person begins to control and direct. He must say to himself, what makes me happy? What is it that is really making me have a good time? And if we find out that we are happier after we have 3 or 4 drinks, then we know where our problem lies. And we know that it's going to be there until we cure. And we also know, as I've tried to tell a number of alcoholics, that if that is their problem and they pay no attention to it, they must face delirium tremens and the misery of a terrible death. It's a little so-called happiness, which is nothing but an escape mechanism, will shoulder the person with a miserable period of living in which he is trying to escape and forget himself. It would be much better for all concerned if he remembered himself and remembered his potential and did what he could to build up something out of it all. So all this false and phony happiness we talk about is not real. It's not making anybody happy. Homes are at a very low ebb. Business is at very low ethics. And government is at very low knowledge. Everything is a little bit off. Nothing is so. And why should we therefore build a vast structure to perpetuate that which has failed? Why should we vote enthusiastically for the continuation of a condition that has been wrong and outmoded for hundreds of years? Why are we trying to maintain what the Roman Empire gave up as a bad job? Why should we make the same kind of mistake that left nothing but pyramids in the sands of Egypt? Why should we go on right on with the same type of fighting, discording that we had in Europe in the Renaissance? Everybody out for everybody. Religious persecution, political chicanery, economic injustice. We use these terms from just as much now as they were then. We've got to change this. We've got to make it better by gradually becoming masters of our own lives. And one thing we can do, every one of us, is to take our own life and chart it. We can begin with the realization that if though there be 1,000 who fall upon the right hand, and 1,000 may fall upon the left hand, the just man shall not be moved. If we do what is right ourselves, we are not responsible for civilization's mistakes. But we can be right as we try. And the moment we are right, we begin to contribute to the rightness of others. Once we get ourselves set up in the proper position, we can contribute to the well-being of all those we come in contact with. So we are not really selfish. No one is selfish because he's right. No one is selfish because he tries to live proper principles. He is selfish if he tries to take on the rights and privileges of other people, when that is the one thing he doesn't want. What he wants is that the integrities of nature shall take over the government of mankind. This is what is necessary. This is the thing we need desperately to develop. So we say that this is part of the new century, that the century is, there is evidence coming. There are more groups arising now interested in mysticism and these problems than ever before. For once in the time of, certainly in modern times, we find references to mysticism and idealism and parapsychology and other things in the academic field. We find more and more the universities reaching out. Why? Because they can't stand it either. They don't be, I've talked to a number of educated people, so-called. They're all miserable. They haven't found anything that's an answer. They find that they are hollow, that the mother, who is a good parapsychologist, doesn't know what to tell her children, that the man who is way up in physics doesn't know what to do when his own son becomes delinquent. These things have no solution on the level of the error. They must be solved on a higher level than they are caused. We have to hear the answer as to be better on principle and integrities than the question. And this is quite possible. And it is coming. I think we will find that there is more movement in this direction in the last 10 years than there's been in the previous 100. We are all searching for something better. It is no longer a disgrace to admit that we don't know. It is a disgrace, however, if we don't know, to have to admit we are doing nothing about it. So there is something to do. That's what we've been trying to do for years, and what I think other people are working with, desperately to help people to recognize that we are individually responsible for keeping the principles we know to be true. And then as far as possible, we will keep these principles in a kindly manner. We will not condemn the rights of others, but we shall so live that other people will see the advantage of our beliefs. We will prove by our own lives that we are working with the plan instead of against it. And as the time goes on, more and more will come. And this thing that the communists refer to as the masses, and the masses is a strange term, but the masses is a name we give to anybody who isn't in public office. We give it to anybody who is part of the great working population of the world. The masses, whom we are sometimes a little worried about, sometimes we're a little frightened about them, but anyway, the masses. This is the problem. If the masses themselves must be the ones who change the situation. The masses are the ones who are still untouched by wealth. They wish they had it. They do anything, maybe commit crime to get it. But they have not been completely infected by it. And in this case, they can be used very well. Because the simplicity of the masses is an integrity. This great mass of so-called untutored may be merely a term to mean the great mass that has not been spoiled. They have not the sophistication. They have the hunger. They need a rope over their heads. They need funds for their children. They need a job. Many of them want a better education. But they are basically the human beings who have a realization of what is absolutely necessary. They are the ones that have suffered most from political power. They are the ones who have suffered most from religious tyranny. And they are also the one, perhaps more than any of, who have suffered from the downgrading of their estate by their own fellow human beings. Therefore, I think that somewhere in the masses, they will not answer again to the cry of socialism. Will come to recognize that in their keeping is a great possibility of bringing about some of the changes that we desperately need. A good father and mother with two or three children may not have much money, may have to struggle, maybe lose a job, but they are the ones who can be the salt of the earth. They are the ones who have every reason to want to be better. And if they can find a way of being better, they are apt to prove that they will be organizing better to put forward the new course of life than all the intelligentsia put together. So if one great thing might be that the rise of the masses of people in trouble, people in sorrow, people in need, that this tremendous mass, making up 9/10 of human beings, will find that the great need is for their improvement. That the time has come when the Christian faith shall apply to the little people, when the power to do right becomes the one power that the poor still have. It is quite possible for the poor and those who have less to recognize the possibility of bringing about the great changes that we so desperately need. At least we hope that something of that nature will produce the changes that must come one of these days. So we want to try to understand that the answer to the problem is to recognize the need to stop what hurts and start moving toward what heals. There is no use trying to fight out the pressures and problems of the past. There is no need for another Roman Empire. There is no need for another Napoleonic Empire. There is not any need for another empire of Adolf Hitler. What there is really need is the rise of those benevolent souls who have become the great teachers and leaders of human progress. The time has come for the peaceful to stand as examples of what is necessary. We cannot survive another nuclear war, and there is no need to. But what we have got to do is to recognize that the universe is ruled by a divine power, that this power will guarantee that nothing will cease and nothing will truly end. But this power cannot reward evil with good. This power must be remaining in its own integrity. It must therefore say that if the game of chess is played too badly, the great power will come in, sweep all the pieces back into the box again, and start a new game. And this is the thing we would like to be able to say when the new game comes. We are it. That we are doing the things that are going to accomplish what we so desperately need. If we can understand this better, we have a better reason to look for more interesting things. The wonders and beauties of life, the greatness of the arts coming into form, better music, better education, clearer and simpler and more just religion, laws that are fair to all, and the possibility of a new aristocracy, an aristocracy which is superior only in the fact that it is wiser and better, and therefore it is the natural leader of the world. And this aristocracy will never pervert, never corrupt, but will go down as the ancients knew, as the sages, the wise ones, the good ones, and they are the only ones that will not disappear in the waste of time. They will go on. And the great citizens of the world are the teachers, the wise, and the loving. And when we depart from them, we depart from truth. And when we depart from truth, we open ourselves to the adversities of our own making. And that we don't want to have happen again. We do not want to have another century of struggle, fighting, bickering. What we want is a century that grows up where friendship, love, and kindness become the great powers in the establishment of human relationships. Well, that's it.